This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Because I think for the last 2 months, he's been thinking more about his contract than he has been getting his mind right for this game. I think both of those things will change and get better. But that does not fully explain giving up 32 points to the Jets and really for the first half, giving up a scoring drive every time the Jets had the ball. And if you give up 32 to the Jets, how many are you going to give up when you play the Bills or the Ravens? Teams like that later in the year. Shoot, how many points are you going to give up?
How about against the Packers or other teams that have presumably better quarterback play than Fields? I know Fields was good, but by reputation, those guys better. How about the Bengals even, although they didn't exactly bathe in glory? I had a couple thoughts, Pony. I mean, I actually take Mike Tomlin somewhat at his word here. I don't know if there's always the chance he's lying about this and that it's schematic, but he kind of just said, no, it's, you know, in the halftime report, blocking and, you know, it's like tackling, basically shedding blocks and tackling.
Football
in week
fundamentals.
One. Yeah, fundamentals, like 101 stuff. Not even so much effort as just like, are you better than the guy across from you, right? That was his words at halftime. You have that much money spent on your defense, like presumably to keep premium players on your defense. They got pushed around. They got pushed around by a team that was not at full strength, that had its starting center playing right guard, that had its backup center in, that didn't have, by extension, its best offensive lineman who's gone for the season. And, like, they were opening holes everywhere. Justin Fields, I think Donnie had this stat, had the most time to throw on average of any quarterback in the league this week. He was not getting pressured. I know that his legs make it a little tougher to pressure him. TJ Watt, even though he had tackles for loss, was not getting home pretty consistently. They really just did whatever they wanted to the Steelers with very few exceptions. I think I could cite at least two Jets drives where the reason the drive stalled and didn't end in a touchdown is because Fields just made the wrong decision on whether to pull the ball or hand it off on a zone read. That's it. And so when you go into a game, you have the book on the other team's quarterback. You don't know how they're going to deploy him. You don't know how the play caller, Engstrom's going to fare in his first time doing this, but you know what the player is broadly capable of, or you think you know, and they come out there and just do whatever the hell they want to do. No trickery, no, oh, it's a double pass here, or it's a flea flicker there, or here's a reverse. No misdirection. They lined up and whooped your ass for the most part. That's the problem. Like, this shouldn't look like, you know, if it was a college-style game where they had to do a bunch of tricks just to move the ball, fine. They lined up man for man and were way better than you pretty much at every level until the very end of the game when Jalen Ramsey made a few plays.
And I didn't expect that Justin Fields knowing the Steelers' defense was going to benefit him more than the Steelers' defense knowing Justin Fields. I thought the Steelers knowing Justin Fields' tendencies, Tomlin evaluated the quarterback in-house all last year. You're telling me he doesn't know the book as a defensive mastermind? With the personnel he allegedly has, $158 million spent on defensive players to make that guy look bad. Okay, Justin Fields was up for the game. He wanted to beat the Steelers because he's pissed at how last year went and the way that they really didn't like roll out the red carpet for him to return.
Yep.
Fine. Cool. That doesn't explain.
You should still be way better than him. You have $160 million sunk into your defense. He's got a 14-30 career record coming into the game. Like, he is prone to making mistakes, and he looked as comfortable as a quarterback could look.
You get what you pay for. He's the one of the lowest paid starting quarterbacks in the NFL. You have the highest paid defense. You've got playmakers on every level. I think the defense can get better. It obviously will get better. It's not going to look like this every week. But it's a pretty lackluster and really embarrassing performance when you think about everything that went into it. You had an entire offseason to get ready for this game. Yes, you had moving parts, but you played them in the preseason the last week so they can get the communication part down. I don't think they gave up big plays because they weren't on the same page. They just got worked over. Your inside linebackers got manhandled against the run.
Did Y.A. Black do anything?
I didn't notice any of their defensive linemen the entire game.
I was doing my watch back, and I don't know which Jets lineman it was, but there was a play that wasn't even like a big play for the Jets, and do you know what was like the one thing on the screen that jumped out? Keanu Benton just getting flattened on a block.
Highsmith had a sack. Watt got in the backfield a few times on run plays or zone read plays. Ramsey made the play at the end of the game. Outside of that, I really can't say a redeeming thing about anybody else associated with the defense in this game. Chuck Clark had a bunch of tackles.
Slay
that
got
was because
beaten
he was the last
touchdown.
Line of defense. Yes, he did.
Slay got beaten
Joey
badly.
Porter Jr. got injured in this game. That's probably not a good thing. We'll see where he's at for next
week.
They
claimed that they pulled him for his own good because his hamstring got tight. The best you can hope for there is that it was like more of a conditioning thing or hadn't played as many snaps, but like...
Thornhill got beat on plays by a practice squad receiver who got called up in favor of Alan Lazard minutes before the game started. So I have very little patience and tolerance for their defense looking this bad, especially with the big game that they talked. And you want to go over motivation. You would think their goal here was to give up zero rushing yards in this game with the way last season ended.
They came out and got blown off the ball is the bottom line. It is a franchise and a coach that have for a very long time prioritized like physical toughness on defense specifically. Nobody's going to out-tough us. When we play the Ravens, it's going to be the closest thing the NFL still allows to a body bag game. And they got bodied. I mean, they really did get physically mauled at every level. Until Ramsey made two plays late too, breaking up the other pass besides the one to Wilson that ended the game.
Yeah, he did.
Besides that, though, like physicality and the want to and everything else, the Jets absolutely took the fight to them.
And those are things to build off of. They got stops late in the game. Ramsey made that pass breakup, like you said. And then the drive before that, they forced a punt. They also got a couple of stops on two-point conversions, which ended up being a big difference maker in the game. But you pay $158 million for a defense. The expectation isn't, hey, make a few plays for us late in a game where you give up 30. We've got the offense to score 30, so we just need you in big moments. No, the whole conceit here, the whole premise, is that this is supposed to be one of the best defenses in the NFL. The safety said he thought it was going to be the best defense of all time, and the coach didn't shy away from those comments.
Despite the fact that any defense that would feature that safety that would be the best of all time would have to have 10 Hall of Famers around him to cover up for his mistakes. I just have a very, very, very hard time unseeing the way that they got physically smacked around here. That's the part I can't abide.
412-928-9370. Here's Randy on the fan. Hello, Randy.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Hey, man, we're good.
So first off, let me say that I go back to the bucket list and Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholson. You never pass up a bathroom. You never trust a fart, and you never pass on, an erection. But as far as the Steelers go, they did throw a lot of money around at the defense. And I don't see where that money was well spent. Maybe their wallets were weighing them down. And maybe it's a good thing that they didn't weigh Chris Boswell's leg down with a heavy wallet. But two field goals, 116 yards in total, they ought to pay that guy some money. I mean, come on. That guy was the game. He won the game for us. Yet
If I had told you going into this game the Steelers are going to score, Randy, 34 points, what would you have assumed they would win the game by?
Oh, I was figuring 34 to 14, maybe.
Yeah, I would have said probably 2 to 3 touchdowns would have been the final margin.
Every single, thanks, Randy, for making the reference to picking football over sex.
Been a hot topic.
Every person who predicted the game on Channel 2 prior to kickoff yesterday had the Jets scoring exactly 13 points. Every single one. So they scored more than double that.
The Steelers got to a number that most people thought the game wouldn't reach.
Yes. So, I thought the Steelers were going to have a rusty, shaky offensive performance. That's why I'm giving the people involved in that performance huge praise. The two biggest stars in that being the offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith, and Aaron Rodgers, because I thought they had the most to do with it. And then maybe another hat tip to Calvin Austin for making big plays.
Yep.
The defense, this is Tomlin's baby. And I'm sick of them spending more and getting less and spending more than everybody else and getting less.
No ROI to speak of.
It's just unacceptable, man.
No ROI to speak of. I mean, I think it's not just that it's unacceptable. It's that, you've got this, once again, you and I think we all tried to temper the optimism, but they clearly weren't even tempering it about YA Black. Hey, we might have found a guy here. It's another lesson that the preseason is just different, man. He, Benton, Hayward, Loudermilk, they just were four guys when they were rotating in there. There was nothing to speak of that was noteworthy from any of them. I think there was that one of the plays Watt guessed right on a zone read and got Breece Hall down in the backfield. Cam had beaten his man one of the few times he cleanly won and was going to probably get Breece Hall for a 2 or 3 yard loss himself. And he had a couple plays where he cleaned up what Watt started. But you expect Cam Hayward, for the money you pay him, to be a disruptor. You expect in year three for Keanu Benton to bounce back and be a guy who's like, oh yeah, that guy's rookie Keanu Benton. He's a bad man. Frankly, you expected YA Black, I would think, to show something. He was getting pushed around.
How about this one? I was looking this up while you were talking.
Hold on. Tigerberg said this, and I'll let you get to this. I tweeted it out. Cutback lanes. I was getting shades of Fred Taylor from 2000 when he came into Three Rivers Stadium with the Jags and ran for about 240 yards.
So Jeff and Kabali both warned us that Isaiah Loudermilk was going to be the guy that got the first chance to fill the shoes of
Harmon.
He ended up playing almost half the snaps on defense. He got 48% of the snaps. That's 31 in all. There were 64 defensive plays for the Steelers yesterday. So he played 31 of 64 plays.
I think I know where this is going.
He's not on the stat sheet.
That's where I thought it was going.
He had nothing.
He pulled a Tony Snell. Love that.
He didn't even have an assisted tackle, Donnie. He couldn't even jump on a pile. Malzi said it. They're running at you the entire game.
And you're not in on any play.
You're not in on a single play.
Not a half tackle.
Out there just
nothing.
Getting some cardio in.
I don't think he was getting some cardio. How much of a workout can you get moving
Dude,
backwards,
Dude, I'm sorry.
Don?
Black did not blow me away. You've got to flip that on Sunday. You can't play him that much again. I guess you can if you want Aaron Rodgers to. If you're expecting Aaron Rodgers to go out there and throw for another four touchdowns.
If Broderick Jones was asked to block Isaiah Loudermilk, what would happen?
It'd be like in wrestling when they both fall down in the ring and they're knocked
the
out
double
and the ref
knockout
starts counting.
Clothesline.
The resistible force meets the movable
That's
object.
Right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love Love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
No show of Peyton Wilson in the tackles. You're an inside linebacker. You've got to be one of the top two or three guys in tackles in the game. Didn't see a lot of him. I think at halftime, when Coach Tomlin was talking about guys getting on and getting off blocks, shedding blocks, making plays, he's one of those guys. He's got to look at the film and improve. I believe that he didn't get off blocks enough and needs to make more plays for the Steelers defense.
Chris Hoat calling Peyton Wilson a no-show on the Extra Point program with Pompeiani yesterday. He played inside linebacker. The Jets ran the ball a ton. And yet there were 2, 4, 6 guys, including Chuck Clark, who didn't even start the game, had to come in because of Deshaun Elliott's injury, who had more tackles.
Don't like that injury either, because I think Deshaun Elliott, when things are going right, is one of the better players on this defense.
All right, so if you want to bitch, you can. 412-928-9370.
It's been a weird show with that. I would usually expect that I am the one who is public enemy number one because I've found something to be upset about after a game like this, but I am mostly aligned with you other than like my extreme worry about the left tackle. If you're going to win an unexpectedly close game maybe against a team you think is beneath yours, I'd rather win it because my quarterback's whooping ass.
Here's a question that came up last night on TV with Pompeiani. I'm not going to tell you how I answered it, but I'm going to pose it to both you and Donnie and tell me how you would answer it.
There were a lot of comments, by the way, about your choice of suit and tie and everything else and the very slick hair.
Okay, this...
Anyway, neither here nor there.
You made it sound like they were critical comments of those things.
I think like the phrase, like, is Pony attending prom was uttered. Stuff like that. Is he dressing up for a mobster movie because you went all black with like the silver tie? Some stuff like that.
There did seem to be a kind of a break in terms of what you guys were all wearing.
I'll tell you what, though,
event.
He's routinely the only guy on the show now who tries to match Bob suit for suit.
Pony was very sharp, but yeah, it looked like wedding attire. Like he just rolled with
that
the all
too.
Black.
That too.
I mean, Joe looked like he was getting ready to enjoy like a nice happy hour.
Joe looked gaunt. People were like, what happened to Joe?
Well, he has lost a lot of weight.
I forget what Graves had on.
But the lighting, Joe's lighting, like, or whatever, made it look him look even thinner.
Graves went business casual. There were jeans. Okay, so the question was, what's a bigger concern, the offensive line or the defensive line coming out of this game?
I think the offensive line actually is, to me, because that is the gateway to the quarterback. And if Aaron Rodgers, who looked awesome yesterday...
Unless you're PFF.
If he is taking shots like he was yesterday, it's going to be tough for a guy of his age to make it through 18 games or 18 weeks.
Malsy, how would you answer that?
I think that's a pretty compelling case. Mainly, and also because, like, in the case of Jones, I mean, there's no real reputation to go on at that position. He's brand new. I'm going to say the defensive line only for this reason. Its best player is 36. The guy that everyone thought was going to be really good is coming off of a down second year and got pancaked all over the map yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The first round pick won't be back for a couple weeks still, minimum. Okay. And then you've got Loudermilk, who is the definition of like a WWE style jobber. He's just an end of the bench guy. He's a depth guy. Donnie's laughing at that, but I mean, I don't think I'm being unfair. The guy didn't register a stat. And YA Black, as much as we were all very excited to watch him in the preseason, is an unknown commodity. So there are, I think, a lot more pressing and pertinent questions on that line than on the offensive line.
I said offensive line because you have a reinforcement coming in Harmon. And I think Hayward will get out of this mental fog he's in. And I think his play will be much better than what we saw yesterday.
So you thought that was mental from him?
I do.
Man, I just thought he looked like he was just his age.
You might be right. If he keeps it up, but I'm willing to give him one mulligan based on how the offseason went. I don't see a good plan B for Jones. If Jones is a liability, what do? You're not going to move Fautanu to left tackle
in
season.
Not midstream. Nope.
You're going to play Pete, who was a guard last year with the Raiders and was available the entire offseason.
Yeah, a lot of people said, I think we even pointed out, oh, pretty good depth if they can get him. But the guy was around and nobody kicked the tires. So, man, what I want to know about Jones is, because I think it's been the million-dollar question, I think they think he's a good, you know, good kid, not like a malcontent, but like, does he have the focus level? This is going to sound crazy. If I find out that he just got beat physically because maybe he was surprised by something that he saw, or Quinnen Williams just pushed
surprised?
Him around.
Surprised?
I don't know, but like a move. He had scouted who he was going against and just didn't expect something. I could almost live with that easier than if I found out, like, yeah, he wasn't locked in heading into this game, and it was more of the guy just cannot focus. The guy doesn't understand what it takes to be a pro. Will McDonald, who I think is a good player, he had 10.5 sacks last year. It's one thing to get bullied by Quinnen Williams, who is a larger person than you. It's another thing to get pushed straight back by a guy who's probably given up, what, 50 or 60 pounds to you?
Maybe not that much, because Jones lost all that weight, which might be part of the problem here.
Well, then we got to start getting the man eating again.
Here's Ed on the Fan. Hello, Ed.
Hello?
Hi, Ed. You're on the air.
Hey, quick question, guys. First of all, I love the show. I always listen to it. But, hey, one thing that I keep playing in my head from all of last year is Kirk Herbstreit's comment at halftime at a Ravens game.
Yeah,
so
of course.
Nothing's changed. So why are we surprised about the defense? I mean, really, every Friday before everybody gets their picks and everything, just keep playing Kirk Herbstreit's comment that these are the Steelers. And the defense got gouged last year, over 300 yards rushing. So nothing's changed. I just get frustrated. I just checked out. I hope the Steelers do well, but I was kind of hoping they'd only win three games this year.
Wait, you just checked out on them? You just didn't? What do you mean checked out?
No, I'm always rooting for them, but I just get so pissed.
Did you watch the game yesterday?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, I thought you meant you just didn't watch after a while.
Whoa, no. But I'm just a diehard Steelers fan, and I get just, you know, totally pissed when I'm watching it because I get too upset. And then I'm just sitting there saying, well, nothing's changed, so what can we expect to have?
Well, it was definitely a yo-yo effect yesterday where you'd watch the defense, you know, give up a touchdown drive, and the Jets would make it look easy, and you'd want to break things that were near you. But then the offense would go out there, and Aaron Rodgers would look amazing.
It was
this yo-yo effect, pendulum effect, where it's like, oh, this is great. Aaron Rodgers doesn't look his age. This guy has something left in the tank. Followed by, oh my God, they just went 75 yards on us and there was no resistance from these guys. What the F?
It was a weird inversion of what life was like watching them during the Killer Bee era. But the Killer Bee era, you expected, because where the money was being spent, that the offense would be great and you hoped that they could get more out of the defense. Whole was greater than the sum of the parts because they were spending on offense. You're expecting the defense to carry the mail. You're not going into this game thinking Aaron Rodgers is going to throw four touchdowns. I mean, I think that inversion right there is why it was extra jarring and extra probably frustrating for people too.
Paul in Washington is next. Hello, Paul.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Paul, you sound blue. You sound depressed. Is everything okay?
No, I just want to know why you guys thought the defensive was going to do anything more than what it did. I mean, nothing's changed. You got everybody's has-beens and used-to-bes and wannabes, but you still got Cam Hayward in the middle, who shouldn't have gave him any money, no incentives, no nothing. He got pushed around like nobody's business. I mean, you got to understand, Tomlin is still coaching his team. If it wasn't for Boswell, we lose that game.
And Aaron Rodgers, you can't forget about him, Paul. Don't try to minimize his effect on the game.
I'll give him his respect.
Would you give Boswell a raise in season because he was so good?
No, he signed a contract.
Okay,
you guys are all about the contract. Well, I mean, if you're all about the contract, I mean, Hayward didn't deserve a raise. I mean, he showed it yesterday. He didn't deserve
it. I just thought you might make an exception for Boswell because he was legitimately awesome yesterday.
He got 2 years to go. He got this year and next year. The end of this year, they'll probably make him the highest paid kicker in the land.
Paul also made the prediction before the season that the Steelers would go 5-12 and fire Mike Tomlin, so he's not off to a great start there. So you hear that a little bit in his voice.
He sounded blue because not only did his voice just not have its usual snap and pop, but he didn't have any like wise-ass remarks for me, which has become a Paul staple of addressing you as if you're the only person he wants to talk to and then treating me like a tick he picked up in the forest.
No, that's an Adrian thing. That's not a Paul thing.
Well,
Paul respects Malzi.
Adrian's entire bit is to whine and cry on the YouTube comments that we won't put his calls on the air because we're afraid of his knowledge.
Mm.
Donnie intentionally ignores his calls because he's afraid to let us get roasted by Adrian when he calls in.
Like when Adrian said Russell Wilson carried the Seahawks to a Super Bowl and Aaron Rodgers was just along for the ride.
Yeah, but I think much like a chameleon, we don't sit here and log everything that he actually types into the chat. And so Adrian can kind of just fire off whatever the hell he wants, you know, completely unchecked.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Monroeville on Thursday from 4 to 6. Verizon is registering customers for the chance to win a pair of tickets to the game versus Seattle on Sunday, along with a basket of black and gold merch. Verizon, the official 5G provider of the Pittsburgh Steelers. That music means it is time for PM Team Professors. Sleight of hand by me. I told you guys we'd be grading one thing. We're actually grading other things because I want spontaneity. I want you guys to not research your answers like a pop quiz. I just want the first things that pop into your head.
This is generally what he does to me every day, Donnie, but I'd like to think that I'm the
greatest.
Doesn't
tell you what we're talking about.
I like to think I'm
one
of the great counterpunchers in radio history.
First one is one, though, that you did see coming. Grade Mike Tomlin yesterday. I went with a C. I almost went C+. But I weigh his defense more than his offense. Things he did well, he brought Aaron Rodgers here. He fostered an environment where Aaron Rodgers could be himself. I also think he had a hand in the Jalen Ramsey deal. I think he helped massage the DK Metcalf deal. So Mike Tomlin and his role behind the scenes in the offseason, I think, helped pave the way for a win here. As far as in-game, defensively, I have very few good things to say. I really have nothing good to say.
Other than he had a hand in Ramsey coming here, and by extension, yeah, and then Ramsey made the two big
and
plays.
And he also trusted Chris Boswell enough to kick super long field goals.
Which goes against some of
to win the game.
Which goes against some, like, just the long field goals in general.
So I don't feel comfortable after a win giving him a D or an F in week one. In which they scored 34 points. No, I'm telling you exactly how I feel. I'm going to give him a C.
For one thing, I did hear from a couple of my Malsy moles that, in fact, Tomlin had less to do with the Ramsey and Smith deal than you might think. Mm. That was other people in the front office, specifically the GM and maybe one or two other voices who were heavily involved or more so heavily involved than you might think there. I'm actually going to be a gentle grader in week one. You guys ready for this one? I'm giving him a B-. His defense deserves an F-, other than the fact that they got two late scores. So maybe I'll upgrade that to an F. But I kind of beat the drum all offseason that, for the love of God, one thing I wanted to see, because I was like slowly coming around on the idea that Rodgers might actually be pretty good for them, was for him to let his quarterback do his thing. The whole field is open to you. You can throw whatever you want at it because I trust you. He did. That trust and that quarterback playing well are literally the only reason that the Steelers are 1-0, not 0-1. He deserves a C or a C+. Because it is week one and I am feeling generous, I am going to give him a B-. Pony, you also forgot to point out that if he did in fact have something of a hand in the Ramsey deal, then he also had something of a hand in making sure You Can Dance If You Janu is here. A man who caught
the... It is robust 5 for 15 yesterday.
Here is one thing that is true. Do you guys agree with me? Maybe I'll find out if it's true. Do you agree with me that if you and I, Pony and Donnie, any of the three of us, was transported into Aaron Rodgers' body and we suddenly were the person catching the snap, that we could have successfully executed the pop pass there to Jonnu? I think we could have. No. I think we catch the snap and shovel him the ball.
I don't think so. I think I'm freaking out because I'm just waiting for him to get to me so I can make the perfect exchange. So
Don,
no,
do you think you could do it?
I do not think in an NFL game I'm executing that perfectly.
I think if you
not
just...
Even a little pop pass?
If you just graft me
you
in there...
You got to take the shotgun snap and throw it to him, timing right. I see NFL teams butcher that sometimes.
You don't have to do any of the play call. You don't have to evaluate the defense.
No, I'm not.
You're at the second the ball's about to be snapped...
No, I'm not doing it.
I think I could catch the snap and shovel the ball from the distance, my mic to my monitor here. Successfully. I think I could do it, Don.
I'm actually surprised Pony's so down on his athletic ability.
It's not me being
here.
Down on myself. It's me being.
He thinks he could step into an actual octagon and beat up Jay Glazer, but he does not think he could throw a ball
in, yeah,
one
do.
Foot.
What grade would you give Tomlin, Donnie?
I'll go C+ for Tomlin because he did allow Aaron Rodgers to do his thing, and I think that's big here. I mean, as much credit as we want to give Arthur Smith, who does deserve plenty. If Mike Tomlin doesn't give the okay to let the quarterback do what he wants, the game doesn't look like that because we've seen the Steelers and Arthur Smith have a decent game plan, but the quarterback just has shackles on every single limb and it doesn't work out. So we have to credit Tomlin there, but the defense was a disaster. So I'll go C+.
Malsy, what grade would you give TJ Watt?
I would give TJ Watt a B because he didn't get to the quarterback in the passing game. Although, man, did he bury Fields on one of those zone read plays. Good Lord. He clobbered him, and you're allowed to do that. He did make a couple tackles for loss, and I think there was at least one other play where he didn't make the tackle, but he drove a guy right into Hayward so Hayward could clean it up. So I would probably give him 3 tackles for loss. Not getting to the quarterback's a problem, but given the struggles that their defense had, just having 2 or 3 plays that ended up being negative for the Jets that were by his hand, on the slight curve I am grading their whole defense because of how bad they were overall, I'm giving him a B.
Donnie?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go like B or B plus. Like I don't think that
B
he...
B plus?
I don't think he individually really had a bad game. Like
They schemed away from him.
Yeah, I mean, everything they ran with Breece Hall or Braylon Allen was the complete opposite side. And... Okay, so he didn't sack Justin Fields. It's a very mobile quarterback. It's a lot of RPO stuff. You would like to have him get one there, but he was one of the few guys defensively I came away from after the game thinking he himself didn't play poorly, even though it was a bad effort by the whole group.
I gave him a C+. I did think there were missed tackles. I thought Justin Fields got around him on runs to the right a few times for big gains where he's the guy there to make a tackle.
Did you notice he actually did line up once in a while somewhere else?
Yeah, he did. Didn't really
do much. But still, he did do it.
Look, the eye test here matters in the scheming part away from him. I take into account, too.
Should we actually expect him, by the way, to catch up to Justin Fields in that situation? That's advantage Fields if it's one-on-one. No offense to TJ
No,
Watt.
Not running away from him. I'm saying even when like he's in front of Justin Fields, yeah. He got around him. No sacks, I guess a few pressures. Yeah, you give up 34 points. I don't feel good giving anybody a B or B plus.
Okay.
Or 32 points, excuse me. Donnie, what grade would you give DK Metcalf?
I think I'd go B plus for him. He did have some rust that he had to shake off, a couple of like early drops. He had that funky play at the end, which was pretty good on their game-winning drive. But... He also had a play on a third down that kept the very first drive of the game going, and we saw the DK Metcalf experience, the speed, the early play. He breaks down the sideline on that screen. That sets them up again. I was pretty happy with him. Really just everything but not getting into the end zone.
I went B. I was close to going B plus. He did have 2 drops. Targeted 7 times, 4 catches, but when he touches the ball, he makes it count because he goes for big yards. And there are plays that change field position and put them in position to score or make it harder for the other team to score. So, yeah, I thought it was like not a breakout performance. but I thought it was a solid to above average first game for him. And he was matched up against one of the best corners in the NFL for most of the game, too. And he still managed 83 yards. So you know what? With that last point with Sauce Gardner, I'm going to give him a B+, actually, too. I'm going to up it.
I think we're all going to, this is going to be a clean sweep. I mean, I sort of wipe out the drop because the very next play he comes back and converts that 3rd and 10.
Sure.
I weight plays heavier when they happen like that on 3rd down, on possession down ball, Donnie, as Mike T would say. I also think, and I don't have the stat in front of me because Pony wanted to make sure that we were just very much spontaneous here, that I couldn't have a very compelling case that I was making statistically. I'd be willing to bet that if you were trying to figure out like what percentage of drives or what's the correlation between having a play of at least, what was the screen, the run he ended up making there? What was the yardage on that? Like 30?
31.
31. Okay, thank you. So that was his long for the game. I would imagine if you were able to do a statistical breakdown, what percentage of drives that feature at least one 31-yard play end in either points or a touchdown or whatever, it's a high percentage. It's much easier, everyone knows this just intellectually or innately, to get points on a drive if you get a big chunk play. So he converts a 3rd down that ends in a touchdown, and he gets you a big chunk play on a scoring drive. I give him a B+. I almost gave him an A-. Actually, you know what? Screw it. I am giving him an A-.
There you go, Malzy. You said you were a gentle grader today.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.